New soil samples from Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge show safe levels of plutonium at the former nuclear weapons manufacturing site. That's after elevated readings were found earlier this summer. State health officials asked for more samples after a soil grab from one area showed five times the safe level of plutonium, which is dangerous to humans when inhaled. But the 25 samples recently collected and analyzed show levels within federal standards.
Attorney Randall Weiner represents a handful of groups suing the federal agency that manages the refuge. They say more testing is needed if it's going to remain open to the public.
Sampling and the testing are very difficult to do. It's like trying to find a needle in the haystack. Very hard to find a hot spot of plutonium, and the sampling that's done on such a large site would need to be more comprehensive, in our view, than is being done.
Weiner says his clients will continue to challenge the safety of the refuge in court. Now, to learn more about the history of Rocky Flats before it was a wildlife refuge, we called up David Havlick. He's a professor in the Department of Geography and Environmental Studies at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. David, welcome to Colorado Edition.
Thank you, Aaron.
So start by telling us a bit about the history of Rocky Flats and what that site used to be.
Rocky Flats, which is now a wildlife refuge, was first set aside by the Department of Energy as a primary production facility for the U.S. nuclear arsenal. Particularly, they made plutonium triggers for nuclear bombs over a span of several decades from about 1952 to 1989. They made about 70,000 plutonium triggers, which was pretty much all the plutonium triggers that were part of our nuclear arsenal.
And as you just mentioned now, the site is a wildlife refuge. You study former military sites and their ecological restoration. Is this a good use of that space?
Well, I think it's complicated. It's good in terms of setting the land aside for conservation, so at least for the area where production occurred, and for a buffer area around there, it helps ensure that there won't be residential developments or commercial occupancy. But I think there are some problems with it in terms of the uncertainty of just how safe the site is, and also kind of the lingering legacy of the site. And over time, what we come to understand and know about the place, I think, can actually be altered by virtue of it being a wildlife refuge. So in other words, if we think of it just as being a place for wildlife, we may lose sight of the fact that it was also a place that was, at one point, had the most dangerous building in America housed on that site.
I'm curious, what are some of the challenges of restoring these sites?
Well, I think there's a mix of challenges. Some of them are technical challenges, like in a place like Rocky Flats, how do you manage or handle the radioactivity of the site and the infrastructure that produced that radioactivity? Are there technical ways to actually render that safe or to put it somewhere else where it's not going to contaminate people or soils or water over time? And I think a lot of those technical challenges remain somewhat uncertain. And then there's sort of the new managerial challenges. As wildlife managers move in, what are their obligations in terms of their primary mission is really for conservation and habitat, but at sites like this, should they also have a historical mission to continue to let people know this is what happened here and these may be some concerns that you want to be aware of as you enter this space, or whether it should even be open to the public at all is certainly, for Rocky Flats, an important question.
What stands out to you about Rocky Flats in comparison to some of the other sites that you study?
I think there are two things. One is the uncertainty of the site. To what degree are we really confident that it's safe? And then the other is just the sort of specter of radioactivity, having plutonium with a half-life of 24,000 years. Should that raise the level of caution that we carry into the site? And I think to me the answer is yes, it should. Whereas if it's, you know, unexploded ordnance or even chemical contamination in the soils, those tend to be less mobile, more visible, easier to trace and to document. Whereas particles of plutonium are pretty hard to monitor and figure out where they are and what they're doing long term.
And I want to just touch on something you mentioned, which is how the reuse of sites like this kind of plays into history. How should we think about the history of Rocky Flats, and how important is it for people to know what it used to be versus what it is now?
To me, it's really important. I mean, I grew up in Boulder with the protests going on, and so for me, every time I go by Rocky Flats, I still think of, you know, a teepee being set up on the railroad tracks or concerts protesting kind of nuclear proliferation. And the site today is very much bound into that memory and that recognition of what happened in that place. But I think for people who are new to the area, if they only encounter it as a wildlife refuge, then it's easy to kind of normalize that and feel like this is a place that's just dedicated to elk or people's jumping mice or, you know, the wildlife that occupy that space. And we lose a lot of the important social meaning of the site, and also that sort of caution about, like, maybe there's some activities that we should not do around this site or in this site that differ depending on whether we think of it as a former weapons plant or as just a wildlife refuge. So I think that historical perspective is critically important.
David Havlick is a professor in the Department of Geography and Environmental Studies at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.